in Mark's gospel, encounters with women usually signify turning points in Jesus' ministry. Here, a conversation with a Syrophoenician woman marks the beginning of his mission to the Gentiles. The Holy Gospel for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not getting older, you're getting better. I like the sound of that. It says something to me. Even though next year I will be 70, I'm not getting older. I'll just keep getting better and better and better. That phrase has been around for a long time. They used to use it on a lot of television commercials, especially to sell hair color. Gray today, strawberry blonde tomorrow. After all, you're not getting older, you're getting better. I like that phrase because it's so optimistic. It tells me that the future will just keep getting better and better and better. That's really pretty American. In fact, scholars have said that the United States, of all the countries in the world, can be described as the official optimistic society. Might not always look that way, but we want it to be that way. We often want to believe that things are getting better and better every day in a natural process of improvement. Better days are just ahead. The crops next year will be better. Next year I'll have more time for my family. Next year I'll get those closets organized. Optimism is defined in this way: a positive expectation of the future based on evidence in the present. Or we could say optimism is believing the phrase, "You're not getting older, you're getting better." So what's the problem today? as we gather in this space or participate electronically. After all, we have all heard that phrase, you're not getting older, you're getting better. The problem is simply this. That phrase is a mirage. You're not getting older is simply not true. Like Jack Benny, we can say, I'm 39 and holding until the cows come home, but 39 and holding isn't written on obituaries. The other part of that phrase, I suppose, is debatable. You're getting better. But if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that our flaws, yours and mine, pretty much stay with us all the time. Now today, Isaiah the prophet declares a strong word, a word that illustrates God's dissatisfaction with the way things are, and God's longing for a different picture. Today's first reading is filled with images of restoration and reversal, of healing and hope. They are strong images. One is easily caught up in their power. The opening of the blind eyes, the unstopping of the deaf ears, the singing of a mute tongue are all justly to be celebrated. Add to this the breaking forth of water in the desert and the renewal of a forsaken land, and there you have it. The text closes with these words, burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The mirage is to go away, to be replaced by reality. But what is reality? Isaiah realizes that left to our own devices, the future will always be a mirage if we are making it. You're not getting older, you're getting better, is not realistic. Today, God is declaring God's future. But as I read our gospel text today, I'm kind of, in a way, disappointed that Jesus took the deaf and mute man aside and healed him. My daughter, Michaela, has a pair of Bose noise-canceling headphones. She needs to be focused on her studies, and so when she puts them on, the noise of the world goes away and she can concentrate. Sometimes I think I'd like to have a pair of those noise-canceling headphones. I'd wear them all the time, because I don't like the sounds I hear. There's so much noise in the world today, and to me, it is not optimistic. The noise I hear is heavy and negative. It just bothers me. I'd like it to just not be there. As for the mute man now able to speak, sometimes I wonder, too, if that's a good thing. Sometimes I think I'd rather listen to silence than what I hear. For the words I hear do not build up. Words I hear often tear down. And so I find myself wondering, do we just continue to perpetuate a false mirage of the future? Or are we maybe called today to also be opened? to have our ears opened in a new way, to have our mouths open in a new way, so that what we hear and what we say can be a part of God's love at work in the world, in yours and mine. You and I, as Christians, are called to listen and to speak in such a way that everyone feels valued, that everyone knows love, that everyone receives hope, that everyone is able to receive compassion, that everyone understands grace. Not easy to do. We slip and fall. But we're always called to be in tune with God's vision for the world. And so today, we thank God for ears that hear and voices that speak. Thanks be to God. Amen.